You are listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solana. We greet you here today. Thank God it's Friday. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Friday to join me here as we're studying the Word of God here together. God bless you guys and gals, kids. It's either 6:30 in the morning, WWBC, 7:30 a.m. on WMIE, or 5:30 in the afternoon for the rebroadcast. No matter what the time is, I thank you for joining us here. We're going through on the radio a verse-by-verse study in the book of Revelation. We started a few weeks ago. So on this program, WGOD, we're tuning into God's frequency. The things you hear here are all new. They're either just teaching here in Revelation, or you're hearing the Sunday sermon from each Sunday. Monday and Tuesday of this week, you heard my associate pastor bring in an excellent word here, watch and pray. So that was what you heard Monday and Tuesday. The video from that is available on the Island Community Church YouTube page. I encourage you to watch that. Man, oh man, there's no more important thing than that. Watch and pray. And the urgency of missing that. We read in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. And he says, and then two will be in the field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. That is, two women over here will be making lunch. One will be taken, one will be left. Then he says this. This is Pastor Darren's message. Then he says, watch therefore. Watch. Gregoreo, watch to guard, to protect, watch. For you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man cometh. Man, oh man, if you miss that, you're lost. This is why there's such an urgency in the Bible not to miss this. This is why you read things like today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts like the Jews did out there in the wilderness wandering for 40 years. We read that in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Watch, or actually that's Hebrews 3, 7. He says, today if you hear his voice. The Apostle Paul writes, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. He says, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. The Bible places the utmost premium, an urgency of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ today while it's still today, because you don't know how long you're going to live. Is your name in the book? We start that here Friday with that question. The Lord has us repeatedly preaching sermons like this of the urgency of his return, or the urgency of us leaving this world and ensuring that we have received the Lord Jesus Christ, that we've quit running and turned to him. Have you done that yet? So I encourage you guys, watch the video or play the podcast from that. It's Watch and Pray. It is up on our Facebook page. The podcast, as well as all the podcasts, are available. If you have an iPhone, you can go to Apple Podcasts. It's a built-in app on your phone or on your tablet. It's a purple app. It's called Podcasts. You can go to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. Subscribe to the podcast. These sermons will be right there. You can listen to them on your phone or wherever, anytime. It's also streamed through the website, WMIE's website, or the app, WMIE and WWBC. Those are two brand new apps that are uploaded. I encourage you, download that, stream all of the programs on these two excellent radio stations. Now, we're in the book of Revelation. We're looking at this last church here, this Laodicean church. Now, there are a variety of ways of interpreting why there's only seven churches, because there was, I don't know, hundreds of churches in the year 96 when the Son of God dictated this letter. But understand that the seven is this number of completion and perfection. So yes, they were written to seven individual churches, but there's plenty we can glean from this. There's plenty that you and I can receive today of the Lord Jesus writing to the spiritual leader of the church, telling them, stop doing that. Or to those in a faithful church, behold, or check this out, friend. I have set before you an open door that no man can shut. Now, maybe he didn't write that to you, but he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Lo, I am with you always. He doesn't change. So he might have wrote that to Philadelphia, but that still applies to you and me as well. To all the members of the faithful church, I set before you an open door. To all of the churches, even to this lukewarm church, he's going to say, to him who overcomes, and this includes you, friend, to him who overcomes, I will grant them to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Now, you might not live in Laodicea, and that was written 2,000 years ago, but that promise still applies to you today. To all overcomers out there, we read seven promises. So regardless of whether or not this was written to you 2,000 years ago, the seven represents, we think, the church ages from the day of Pentecost, represented in this first church at Ephesus, down to the last church. Because here, there's no more mention of the church in the book of Revelation after we're done with this church of Laodicea. Now, let me read this whole text again here on this Friday. I'll read this out of the New King James. Now to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, thus says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you were lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, so that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we're halfway through this letter. Let me recap a little, and then we'll look at a little bit more of this today. Now, to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, remember, angel is the Greek word angelos. It means more than angel. It means also messenger. Even the Apostle Paul, when we read in Acts chapter 17, and he was in Athens, and he was amazed. He was distraught over all of the idols that he saw. And then he found one that said on it, pros agnosto theo, which is to the unknown God. And the Apostle Paul, soon as he saw that, the sermon came to him. That's many times how these things come about. When you go and you wait for the Lord to move in a particular way. With him, it was seeing an altar there. They had something for every God imaginable. And then they threw that up just in case they might have missed someone. Pros agnosto theo. And Paul says, you see that one there? Agnosto theo, the unknown God? Him I will kat angelos. Preach to you. That's the one I want to tell you about, the unknown God. The one you worship here, you don't even know him, katangelos. That's the one I'm going to talk about. Same Greek word here, to the angelos of the church. This is the preacher of the church, not an angel, at least in my opinion. I don't think Jesus is dictating a letter for the Apostle John to take to someone that he cannot see. People, you know, you can't see angels for the most part. If you could see them today, if you could see Jacob's escalator today, you would go insane. You probably would get pretty doggone mad, too. When you see hissing demons out here messing with your children and in school, all of the things and the evil that's going on here, if you could see all that, you'd lose your mind. This is not a letter spoken to John to give to someone that he cannot see. It's for the spiritual leader of this church. So to the messenger of the church in Laodicea, right? These things says the Amen. Remember the Amen? Like when you read verily, verily in Hebrew and Greek, that's the word Amen or Amen. Amen, Amen, Lego human is verily, verily, I say unto you. So these things says the, and what does it mean? So be it, right? It is what it is. Even so, Amen. Remember, he's coming back with the clouds and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth are going to wail when they see him. Then he says, it is what it is. Even so, Amen. That's his name. He is the Amen. Thus says the Amen. Remember, all the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God. He is the Amen. He is the final authority. He is the Amen. It is what it is. He is the Son of God. He's coming again a second time, apart from sin. To everyone that looks for him, even so, Amen. It is what it is. He is the Amen. He's the faithful witness, as opposed to all of the unfaithful witnesses. He is the true witness. He is the beginning of the creation of God. That's where we were at yesterday. The word RK, hello, some words mean more than one thing, just like in English. This has got to be the hardest language to learn is English. You and I know words can mean a million different things. Well, same it is in Greek. The word RK, translators beginning, means more than just beginning. Though it does mean beginning, it means the ruler as well. It means the pioneer, archegos, looking unto Jesus, the RK, the pioneer or the trailblazer of our faith. So thus says the Amen, faithful and true witness, the RK of the creation of God, meaning he is the ruler of the creation of God. Don't fall for these Satan-induced evil deceivers known as Jehovah's Witnesses that are going to try to tell you that Jesus is the Archangel Michael. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And they're deceivers. Don't let them into your house. Then he says, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. Funny how the word could is there. That's like if it would make a difference. But it's not going to make a difference here. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you were lukewarm, Now remember, lukewarm, remember what it means to be the same temperature as your surroundings. When the church is, remember, he's writing this to the pastor, when the church is the same temperature as its surroundings, that is, when you have let, or the pastor of this church, and anyone, we've been saying all along, there, you could find yourself in a lukewarm church today as much as you could find yourself in a dead church or a compromising church or a persecuted church or a loveless church or here a lukewarm church, and that is you have let the world influence you instead of you, pastor, influencing the world. You've changed the church to be the same temperature as the surroundings. You want unbelievers to feel good when they come into your church, so you change the church. You listen to Rick Warren's book, Purpose-Filled Church. You take the name church out of your church. You call it something else because you don't want church in there because you don't want to offend the unbelievers when they come in. So you're going to make changes. You don't want to talk about sin in your church. Or Mr. What's-his-name, Charles Stanley's son, who says, never get up and say, the Bible says so-and-so, because that'll turn people off if you quote and say, well, the Bible says. You see, this is lukewarm, that when you've let the world influence you instead of you influencing the world. Oh, that name I was dropping on you? That's Andy Stanley. You can read all about it. I've read it in his books before. Next up, this church is deceived. He says, because you say, I am rich and I've become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not know. You see, they thought they were okay and they were not. That's the definition. My definition of deceived is to think that something is something while something is something else. You think you're okay because of how much money you have in the bank, or you think you're okay over how big your church is or how great your program is, how awesome the band is, how great your youth ministry is. You think you're okay and you're not. You're lukewarm when you've let the outside world influence you on the inside. You're not okay, he's saying. You're not okay. Because you say, I am rich and I've become wealthy and I need nothing. And yet you do not know, the Lord Jesus says, you do not know or you do not realize that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now there is the true spiritual condition for the pastor of the lukewarm church. Back then and today, when you have let the world influence you, that you've changed your church so that unbelievers will feel comfortable when they come into it, you're lukewarm. You have, what would the Apostle Paul call it? A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Lukewarm. Then he says next here in verse 15, he said, or verse 16, so then, because you are lukewarm, because you are just like the world, because you've let the world influence you on the inside, because you've been embarrassed to have this place feel like a church instead of feeling like the outside, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Not an enviable position for the pastor and the pastors of the lukewarm churches here in America and around the world. And he says, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know. Ah, you see, again, like Eve and Judas and all the others, the end times lukewarm, tepid church is deceived. They think that they're okay because of the things that they have. You see, if you never talk about sin in your church, people are going to flock to that. People don't want to be offended. They don't want to hear that. The end times church thinks they're okay because they have money or because they have church growth or a nice building. Back again to verse 17. Because you say I'm rich and I've become wealthy and we have need of nothing. And you do not realize that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Again, this is the church of today. This is the last church that'll be operating when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Their attitude is, we're running fine, thank you, we're doing great, tithes are up, so is attendance, we are in need of nothing other than maybe a bigger building. This is the last church that'll be operating at the end of the age. So, my second question is, what makes a person half-hearted? What makes a person lukewarm? That's an easy answer to look at here today. The answer to that, worldliness. Worldliness. What an abomination to God. Worldliness for a lifestyle. Worldliness and Christianity mixed together. Reminds me of that old saying, not a care in the world. Here it's the opposite. Here you've been infected by this evil world. Listen to this verse out of James chapter 4, verse 4. I've quoted it many times. Let me read it out of the King James Version. James chapter 4, verse 4. See, this is the problem here for lukewarm and half-heartedness is you've been infected by this world. Listen to what James wrote. James chapter 4, verse 4. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So the lukewarm church does not have 2 feet in the world. It's got 1 foot in the world and the other foot in the kingdom. And this condition just makes him sick. And sick to his stomach, so much so that it makes him want to vomit. You heard of rhinos, Republican in name only. Here you'd have chinos, Christians in name only. And not indeed, Christians in name only and not in holiness. Christians in name only and not in zeal for the Lord. Christians in name only, but not in truth. But tepid instead and lukewarm, like a nasty old lukewarm cup of coffee. Either put ice in it, like they do at Dunkin' Donuts, or zapped a thing in the microwave and heat it up like a McDonald's cup of hot coffee that'll burn your tongue. But don't give it to me lukewarm. There's nothing worse than that. It's what Jesus said. You make me want to vomit when you do these things like this. Christian in name only. You say that you are a Christian. But you've lost your zeal, your zest. Your holiness. Remember, this is the spirit of holiness. How are you? Are you letting him control you in your life? Zeal, truth. God is calling his church out of this world. 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The pastor of this lukewarm, infected church thought he was okay, and he thought that his fellowship was okay. He was deceived, though, by what he saw in his church. People, lots of them, tithes, bank account, stuff and programs going on. He thought that something was something, while something was something else. And the something else just made the Son of God sick to his stomach. It just, he said, you make me want to vomit. It wasn't okay. Proverbs 14:12 said, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So what makes a person half-hearted? Number one, worldliness. Number two, riches. Riches can make some people half-hearted because riches can give you a false sense of security. Proverbs 30, verse 7, two things I request of you, deprive me not before I die. Remove falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. You know what? We're out of time. We're going to stop right there for the weekend. We're going to pick it up right here on Monday, looking again at the end of this lukewarm church. We're going to get to the solution of Monday's program. What do you do? All right, that's me. I've let this world get to me. I've been infected by worldliness. I'm maybe in a lukewarm church. Maybe I'm the pastor of a lukewarm church. Where do we go from here? Like they said on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? We'll find out what to do when we come back with this program here, the Lord's instruction to the lukewarm church. Where do we go from here? How do we fix this? Join us Monday. We'll answer those questions. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.